الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله عنده علم الساعة وينزل الغيث ويعلم ما في الأرحام، وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا، وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت، إن الله عليم خبير. Before we continue with our discussion of yesterday, there were two things amongst others that were discussed in tonight's recital, and I thought that I share it with you. Few days ago we spoke about the fact that whatever Allah does in the favor of His servant, whether apparently looks good or unpleasant, is indeed for the betterment and in the good interest of His servants. I spoke about that, and to a certain extent we explored the topic, and I coupled it with relevant quotations to substantiate the theory that Allah Ta'ala does things, it is in the interest of man, it's in the benefit of man. Man many a times fails to recognize the wisdom. At the beginning he wonders why. At times things happen ironically contrary to his expectation. And he wonders why and how. But Allah Ta'ala has wisdom and Allah Ta'ala has plan about it. Something that was discussed in tonight's recital, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the procedure of adoption. We know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had adopted Zayd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he became very attached to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam become attached to him, and he was then privileged with the name of Zayd bin Muhammad, Zayd the son of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And obviously this was an absolute merit and prestigious title afforded and awarded to him, that Zayd the son of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's really an honor, it's really a virtue that you have been linked and associated with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to such an extent that when his parents came to know about him, his father started, you know, looking around for him till he located his son. He came to his son, he sat down with his son, he said, "Oh my son, we've come to purchase your freedom. You've been captured by this man." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I haven't captured him. You can take him. I won't take a cent in his ransom. But one thing I won't do, I won't send him against his wishes. If he's happy, you may take him. If he's unhappy, I will not release him." So I got no, he's not, you know, he's not kept in custody here. He's not captured. I won't take any ransom. So his father spoke to the son and said, "Oh Zayd, I'm your dad. This is your uncle. We've been looking for you. What is it that you prefer this life? Come, we've come to take you." So Zayd radiallahu anhu says that, "I have seen something in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I prefer being a slave under him than enjoying the luxury life with you, O my father." So his father said, what is this here that you imagine? What type of a human the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, that a person preferred living in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the cost of being separated from his biological father? What was the warmth that he transmitted? What was the kindness that he gave off? That this was the choice a person made. And the father was then satisfied, although he was disappointed that my son has not come, but he was satisfied that my son was in good hands. And this remained with him, you know, Zayd bin Muhammad, Zayd bin Muhammad. But thereafter Allah then revealed the verses, وَمَا جَعَلَ أَدْعِيَاءَكُمْ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ قَوْلُكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَقُولُ الْحَقَّ وَهُوَ يَهْدِي السَّبِيلِ. Allah says, "We have not made your adopted children your own children. ذَلِكُمْ قَوْلُكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ. That is what you utter with your mouth. ادعوهم لآبائهم هو أقسط عند الله. Call him by his biological father's name. فإن لم تعلموا آباءهم فإخوانكم في الدين. If you don't know his, you know, he's an abandoned child, he's a child that was left and you picked him up, you don't know his roots, you don't know his father, then Allah says he is your brother in Islam, but he does not become your son, hence he will not inherit from you. He will not inherit from you. So he will be referred to. The Prophet ﷺ has said in the hadith that there are three sins that are very, very severe. Nay, they are unpardonable. The consequences are very grave. And one of the three is that a person attributes himself to someone other than his biological father. He attributes himself to someone other than his biological father. It is a major sin in the eyes of Islam. Your father will remain your father. Obviously, you could be perhaps brought up in the care of someone else. You respect that person. He could be an uncle to you. He could be a guardian to you. He could be a fellow Muslim brother to you. You show kindness and loyalty to him. But you understand that you were born from the fluid of the man from whom you were born. That is your biological father. So when this verse was revealed, and obviously now Zayd radiallahu anhu's name that was attached to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to be severed. So now he was then known as Zayd bin Haritha, and known as Zayd bin Muhammad. So this was a very, very painful procedure for Zayd radiallahu anhu, that the honor of being referred. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's own male offspring had passed away when they were very little. Nabi sallallahu's son Ibrahim radiallahu anhu from Maria Qibtiyya radiallahu anha, he passed away while he was still being nursed and suckled. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sons Qasim and Tahir, and hence the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known as Abu al-Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They also passed away when they were little. So his male offspring did not prosper. And it was because of that that one Kafir made the nasty remark, and he said, Abtar, that Muhammad is Abtar. Abtar refers to an animal the tail of which is severed. So he said Muhammad is Abtar, meaning his male lineage will not continue. A person's name prospers at the hands of his male children and not his female children. They will marry into different families. So your name of your family is taken ahead by your sons. So a kafir made a remark and he said, Muhammad is an abtar wal iyadu billah, an animal whose tail has been cut off. So Allah Ta'ala then revealed the verse and Allah said, Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. Muhammad is not abtar. The whole world is taking his name. And his name will remain. But the one who said this, he will become Abtar, that till today we don't know who he is. He is Abtar. He is Abtar and we don't want to know who he is. He was someone who said this. His name has been severed. Allah said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. He was not your biological father, but he was the Nabi of Allah. And we are his spiritual children. And we take pride and honor in naming our children behind the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So obviously this was a bit of a painful moment for Zayd, that, you know, this prestigious, honorable title that was afforded to him was now snatched away from him. But then again, as I spoke about, and I again, you know, conquer on the same viewpoint, and I use this to substantiate the very same thing, that Allah Ta'ala has a bright plan. Whatever Allah does for man, it is better and it is in the good interest of man. Zayd radiallahu anhu's name was cut off from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but then Allah replaced it and Allah substituted it and Allah privileged it by mentioning his name in the Quran. Now you read the Quran from Surah Fatiha to Surah Nas. There are numerous verses that make subtle and at times explicit references to a host of companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there is no place in the Quran, with the exception of one page, where Allah categorically and emphatically makes mention of the name of any Sahabi other than Zayd radiallahu anhu. So neither Abu Bakr's name has been made. Many verses refer to Abu Bakr. Many verses refer to Umar. But nowhere in the Quran will you come find Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman or Ali. There's only one Sahabi whose name is mentioned in the Quran. فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So Allah, the name of Zayd was cut off from the Prophet, but Allah put it in the Quran. Allah placed it in the Quran. So again, my point is that whatever Allah does for man is in the interest of man. You know, if it loses here or something happens here, Allah Ta'ala always rewards man. Allah Ta'ala always rewards man. And subhanAllah, look at the privilege of Zayd radiallahu anhu, the only companion from the galaxy of Sahaba who enjoys the prestigious opportunity of his name being emphatically mentioned in the Quran. Categorically Allah speaks about it. Zayd radiallahu anhu. That was the first thing. The second thing Allah Ta'ala speaks that we discussed today, Allah speaks about five things which are exclusive to the divine knowledge of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ Allah says, it only remains in the knowledge of Allah the precise moment of Qiyamah. This remains in the exclusive knowledge of Allah. There are many, many signs. Yesterday we recited in the 20th juz of the Quran, وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ تُكَلِّمُهُمْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُوقِنُونَ Where Allah speaks about the huge monster that will emerge from the earth. Reference to this incident has been made in the verse that I have quoted before you, and there is many ahadith that speak about it. This is referred to as Dabbatul Ard, the monster of the earth. With reference to the books of hadith and likewise the books of tafsir, the Mount Safa and Marwa, we all know, we've been to Hajj and Umrah, will split just prior to Qiyamah, and suddenly this huge looking animal will emerge. And then this animal will advance towards the Kaaba. People will be engaged in circumambulation and in tawaf. And then, this is according to absolute authentic riwayat, in fact this is in the Quran. وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ And when the matter will be decreed upon them, أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ We will send forth for them an animal from the earth. تُكَلِّمُهُمْ This animal will speak to them. What will this animal say and in what language will it speak? It will speak Arabic. What will be the message of this animal? أَنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُوقِنُونَ Allah, this animal will go around speaking to people and tell them, what is the matter that you did not believe in Allah? In other words, that which you refuse to accept on the tongue of the prophet, you will be compelled to accept on the tongue of an animal. But unless it will be too late. It will be too late. You know, you will say that the prophets told me this. The messengers and the envoys conveyed, we ignored. Today an animal is telling us and we are convinced, but it's too late. It's too late. It's too late, it will be... So this animal will walk around and speak to people, Dabbatul Ard, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam speaks about it, and then Tulu'u Shams min Maghribiha, and then the sun will rise from the west. I read about an article now recently, there was some astronomer who had spoken about in one of the planets, you know, just a few months ago, a year ago, the sun had risen from the west. And scientifically they say, astronomy tells us, we believe in the Hadith, we do not... In fact, we will practice in it the day scientists tell us it's not going to happen, we'll believe in it more. The day scientists tell us miswak is harmful, we'll use it the most. The day scientists tell us miswak is harmful, the dead day we'll use it the most. We do not resort to miswak for scientific explanations. Our Nabi has told us, but you speak to a dentist today and he'll tell you. The twig of a tree, the bark of a tree, the properties that this wood carries and how valuable it is and how nutritious it is and the many other benefits that come with it. But I was shown this article. So the sun had risen from the west. I sent for correction which planet it was. And scientifically it's proven that if it has happened on one planet, it will happen on every planet, hence it will happen on planet Earth as well. The Prophet ﷺ has told us that the sun will rise from the west. And that is the day the doors of Tawbah will be closed. So Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ That the knowledge of Qiyamah is exclusive to Allah. When Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came in the famous hadith, which is known as hadith of Jibreel, and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, مَتَ السَّاعَةِ When is Qiyamah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ The person being asked is not any more learned than the one asking. brothers, you and I are equal. We are on par. Just as you being the learner, you don't know. Me being the teacher, I also do not know. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. They ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding Qiyamah, when will it come? قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي لَا يُجَلِّيهَا لِوَقْتِهَا إِلَّهُ. Say to them, Qiyamah is in the knowledge of Allah. He alone knows the precise, exact moment. In fact, we learn from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there will be a build-up of signs. And we've been speaking about it, and we know, and it's happening continuously. In fact, it's happening rapidly. But then the Prophet ﷺ says, Qiyamah will occur so suddenly, that a person will be busy plastering his pond. This is the word of the hadith. A person will be plastering his pond. And the Prophet ﷺ says, the buyer and seller will be negotiating the transaction. The buyer and seller will be negotiating the... In other words, life will be operating as per routine. You know, there won't be an announcement early morning, listen, it will be Qiyamah, so stay indoors. Shops will be shut. You know, there'll be no work in today. No. Life will be operating as per routine. So you will get up in the morning, go to your regular shop, catch the bus on your way. The buyer and seller will be negotiating. And suddenly there will be a loud screeching sound, which will be ear-piercing, which the Quran said, الْحَاقَّةُ مَا الْحَاقَّةُ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحَاقَّةُ الْقَارِعَةُ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ الْوَاقِعَةُ مَا الْوَاقِعَةُ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْوَاقِعَةُ. These are the various descriptions that the Quran says, loud, awful, painful, ear-piercing, that will come, and it will cause the instant death of every person. أَزِفَةِ الْعَازِفَةِ. Suddenly there will be that loud sound. You know, sometimes you sit in and then you hear a screeching sound, and when you look, there's a collision of cars, and immediately what happened in a minute? This will be so loud, the Prophet ﷺ said, كَيْفَ أَنْهُمْ. How can I enjoy the comforts of this world? When Israfil has taken the trumpet in his hand and drawn it close to his mouth, وَأَصْغَى سَمْحَهُ, and he has extended an attentive ear to Allah. In other words, he's in a ready position to blow. The Prophet ﷺ says, he's in the position to blow. How can I enjoy this world when Israfil has taken the trumpet? This is the word of Tirmidhi. He has taken the trumpet in his hand, وَأَفْغَى سَمْعَهُ, and he stretched his ear to Allah, and he's ready to blow. How can I sit in? Well, this is the plan of Allah. Scholars say, Allah had planned the destruction of the world at the very time he created it. So Allah created and designed the world keeping in mind his plan of destruction. Sometimes you design a home with the hope you're going to live, and then something tragic happens and you have to relocate. So you say, if I knew this was to happen, I would have never built such an elaborate home. So I did not build it, you know, thinking I'm going to live in 2 years. I built it thinking I will live here with my children, my grandchildren. But then things change, and unfortunately there was a tragedy and we have to leave. Allah designed the world accommodating his intention of destruction. The very time he built it was the time he intended its destruction. The very time Allah designed this entire universe. And then you go into astronomy and you study the vastness of this world and see what Allah has created. Subhanallah, it is mind-boggling. It is inconceivable. Nonetheless, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. The explicit moment. So person will be doing his normal things, and then will come the loud sound, and that will be Qiyamah. We are hearing of catastrophe that are happening in such succession, and we see in minutes how it just sucks up thousands of people, and the helplessness and the feebleness of man before this divine will of the Almighty. We sympathize with every person that is involved in any pain and tragedy, and we make dua to the Almighty Allah that He removes these difficulties from man. But obviously these are eye-openers, as they say. These are reminders from the Almighty for humanity to come out of their slumber, to come out of their sleep. So can you imagine what will be the Qiyamah when the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَرَى الْجِبَالَ تَحْسَبُهَا جَامِدَةً وَهِيَ تَمُرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابِ. وَتَرَى الْجِبَالَ تَحْسَبُهَا جَامِدَةً. Now you go into sea mountains, one of the most solid creations of Allah. In fact, the Quran says that when the earth was created, then there was the pull of gravity, because of which the earth was not stable. Then the Quran says, وَيْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادَ. Allah put mountains to give stability to the earth. And so today scientists believe that mountains is a big deterrent against quakes. It creates and it balances the earth. It's a plus factor against a quake. So these mountains, Allah says, you look at them. وَتَرَى الْجِبَالِ. You see the mountains. تَحْسَبُهَا جَامِدًا. You consider them, you know, that they are solid. They cannot be moved. They cannot be, you know, moved from their place. But تَمُرَّ مَرَّ السَّحَابِ. They will move like clouds. They will move like clouds. These very mountains that today are so huge and massive, they will move like clouds. Why? Because it will be the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْجِبَالِ. And they ask you regarding the mountains. فَقُلْ يَنْسِفُهَا رَبِّي نَسْفًا. Tell them, my Lord will reduce it to bits and pieces. فَقُلْ say unto them, يَنْسِفُهَا رَبِّي نَسْفًا. My Lord will reduce it to ashes. لَا تَرَى فِيهَا عِوَجًا وَلَا أَمْتًا. You will find no slope nor decline. The earth will be absolutely leveled. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. The earth will be totally leveled. The sky will be a different sky. The earth will be a different sky. Allah says there will be no slope, there will be no mountain, there will be no decline, there will be no ascent, no descent, absolutely nothing. It will be a plain, leveled ground. Inna ja'iluna ma 'alayha sa'idan juruza. Allah says we will level it totally, and upon that will Qiyamah take place and Hisab will take place. So that's the first thing. You know, you see when people demolish, when they demolish, you know, a place as if it did not exist. Allah speaks about how He destroyed the previous nations. He said, كَأَلْ لَمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا. SubhanAllah, look at the expression of the Quran. Allah said, I destroyed them in such a way as if a nation by that name never existed. As if they never came on this earth. Goya ke wo abad hi nahi hue. كَأَلْ لَمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا. You know, the other day I was reading in one tafsir, we've seen winds now, we've seen stormy winds. Allah speaks of 8 winds in the Quran. What a complete Quran we have. What an encompassing faith. Allah speaks of 8 different winds. Some winds that come as mercy, some winds that come as azab, some winds that come as reminders, some winds that carry rain. Allah speaks about it. Whenever the wind used to blow strong, the Prophet ﷺ used to recite the dua, اللهم اجعلها رحمة ولا تجعلها عذابا اللهم اجعلها رياحا ولا تجعلها ريحا. Allah, let it be mercy, let it not be destruction. Allah, let it bring blessings, let it not bring torment. Whenever the thunder came, اللهم لا تقتلنا بغضبك اللهم لا تقتلنا بغضبك ولا تهلكنا بعذابك وعافنا قبل ذلك. Allah, don't destroy us with your anger. Allah, don't seize us with your wrath. Allah, grant us security before you decide evil with your creation. Look at the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a complete deen we enjoy. What a wholesome deen we enjoy. What an encompassing deen. But have we studied it? Allah said about the winds. What were the winds that came on the nation of Ad? سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَالِيَ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ. Allah says, for 8 days and 7 nights, continuous these winds came. Now, Ad was a solid nation. Those who claimed, من أشد منا قوة, who can be stronger than us? But these winds were so stormy, they were so violent, they were so aggressive, that some scholars write that they were out of the control of the angels who were in charge of it. Even the angels couldn't contain, such was the force of these winds. Such was the force and the strength of this wind. Allah Ta'ala says, حُسُومًا فَتَرَى الْقَوْمَ فِيهَا صَرْعَى. It came, it lifted them and dropped them into mountains. It made them all collapse. To such an extent, كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ. Because they were huge and massive, they looked like date palms that had collapsed. That is the description of the Quran. فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَاقِيَةٍ. Allah says, can you even see one of them remaining? هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا. Can you even hear them whisper? Those that used to say, is there anyone stronger than us? Allah says, never mind for them being arrogant. Can you hear them whisper? Nothing, nothing. Gone. So this is the strength of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the might of Allah ta'ala. You know, these occurrences of nature is for man, for humanity in its entirety, for us to learn, for us to reflect. So again, you know, just briefly running through it, we've digressed so much. The first thing that is an absolute knowledge of Allah, and that is Qiyamah. When will the final hour happen? It's only in the knowledge of Allah, and we could speak much more about it. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. When will rain come? In what measure will it come? In what quantity will it come? Will it be beneficial? Will it be destructive? This is in the knowledge of Allah. This is absolutely in the knowledge of Allah. Man, the only thing they can tell you, there is a forecast of rain. Scattered thunder showers expected. That's about it. When it's not there, they cannot bring it. When it's coming too much, they cannot stop it. They can only forecast, and that also expected, you know. So such a vague language that they balance. They cover on both sides, you know, expected. 30% chance of thunder showers, 40% chance of thunder showers, whatever it is. But it is only in the knowledge of Allah. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. When will rain come, in what measure? This is exclusively in the knowledge of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. And what is hidden in the womb of every female, it's exclusive to the knowledge of Allah. Be it a human, be it the animal kingdom. People might question and say that now, you know, we have the scan. And, you know, you can see the child and see the fetus and see the movement of the fetus. And maybe you can even see the gender of the fetus and whatever else have you. The challenge of the Quran stands. If you study Arabic and you understand basic Arabic grammar, you will appreciate it. The Quran says, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. Allah knows that which is in every womb. From the time of conception. Not after 4 months and 5 months and 3 months and then through a machine, and that also, you know, it's not explicit, it's vague, it's not clear. Whatever is in the womb of every female, الله يعلم ما تحمل كل أنثى وما تزيد الأرحام وما تزداد. Allah says, I know what every female carries and the constant changes that are happening in the womb of every female is in my knowledge. So what is happening in that of an animal, those that have multiple births, how many, you know, small creatures that Allah is creating. You go and see every creation of Allah. And see the different creation, go in the wildlife and see the system of Allah, see the system of Mother Nature in birth, in delivery, in development. Look at insan, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبَصِرُونَ. Oh man, look at yourself. At the time when مُخَلَّقَةٍ أَمْ غَيْرِ مُخَلَّقَةٍ, the angel asks the permission of Allah, Allah, must this fetus be made normal or abnormal? Now, can you imagine? No doctor, no gynecologist. It's not at the understanding or the expertise or the skills or the know-how of any doctor. The angel asks the permission of Allah, should this child be born normal or abnormal? At that very moment when Allah is deciding the vision of the child, the mother is abusing her sight. If Allah so wanted, Allah could grudge this child on the wrong of the mother. But no, the mother deprived Jesus, she's abusing her eyes, deprived the child. Allah says, no, give the child beautiful eyes. Allah says, whatever is in the womb of every female is in the knowledge of Allah. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. It's totally in the knowledge of Allah. So that is the third thing. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. And no human knows what is going to happen to him tomorrow and what he's going to earn tomorrow. Your sustenance, your happenings, your day, you might plan it in a certain way, but you have absolutely no guarantee that things are going to materialize as per plan. No human has the confidence of that. Absolutely no confidence. Allah Ta'ala reminds man constantly that, you know, look at this, in these basic things, this is in my knowledge, in my control. And I often say that because Allah's grace and Allah's respite and Allah's clemency allows things to materialize in the favor of man as he so plans. So it's the grace of Allah that gives way for things to happen as you plan. Allah is watching, Allah can interrupt it. But Allah's grace gives allowance to it. So because Allah's grace gives allowance and things materialize as per we plan, we foolishly think it's happening because we're planning. We foolishly think it's happening because we're planning. You know, I remember when we were little children and we used to go to the madrasa, so there was this one traffic officer that used to come with his motorbike. And obviously as children you want to press the siren, you know. So anything we touch, the siren goes off. So, you know, we thought that this bike is really magic. Anywhere you touch, meanwhile, obviously, he was pressing a button somewhere, you know. And subhanAllah, anywhere we touch it, whoa, whoa, and there goes the siren. And, you know, we said, you must come and see this bike. You must come and see it. Anywhere you touch it, the siren goes. Till one day he had to go and control the traffic. And subhanAllah, we pressed him everywhere and nothing is happening. And that's the day we realized, it's the siren wasn't going because I was pressing. So things are not happening because I'm planning. I planned today also, but today I got up with a severe pain and I couldn't move. But that's the time I realized that till today the health I had and I was catching up is because of His grace. It's not happening because I'm planning. If it happened because I planned, then I planned today also. If the medicine cured, then I took it today also. Last time the symptoms were same, the diagnosis was same. Today the symptoms are same, the diagnosis is the same. So, you know, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. No human knows what lies ahead of him tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. And no soul knows on which land his soul will be taken out. No man knows where I will meet my end. Yesterday I spoke about the incident of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, what happened to that person and where he ultimately died. So really we can only hope and make dua to the Almighty Allah that He grants us a pleasant death. But as I mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ said, كَمَا تَغِيشُونَ تَمُوتُونَ وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُحْشَرُونَ. The manner in which you live your daily life, that is how you will die. And how you die, that is how you will be resurrected. So the places you frequent while you are alive, it's highly possible you will face your death at one of those places. If you frequent good places, then inshallah you will die a good way. We make dua to the Almighty Allah, He save us from a death in a club. Allah save us from a death in the lap of a strange woman. Allah save us from a death while dining with haram woman. Allah save us from a death while holding a bottle of wine in our hand. Allah save us from evil death and evil venues and evil people. But it's time we disassociate ourselves from such people, such venues, such locations. Least it be our last moment. Least it be our last moment. And really, it will be the worst thing, not only for us, but what an embarrassment for our family to know that he died in a casino, he died in a club, he died dining with a strange woman. May Allah Ta'ala save us from such evil death and such unpleasant death, and grant us a death in a manner that we are happy to meet our Allah and He's happy to see us. Bilal is about to take his last breath, and everybody around him crying and he is laughing. So they asked him, Bilal, what is the matter? He said, I can see my Nabi waiting for me at the door of Jannah. What did the poet say? That when you came in this world, you were crying and those around you were laughing. When you came in this world, you were crying. A child comes out crying. Doctors will again tell us it's good for the development of his lungs. And it will open up this and that, whatever, those are medical explanations. But anyway, we know the child cries. Leave the medical explanations. So you were crying and the children were laughing. He says, now, you make such an effort that when it's time for you to go, you are laughing and the others are crying. Reverse the situation. That when it's time for you to go, I must be happy. I can see my Allah and the mercy. And hence the Quran says, and I leave you with this. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. Any person who undergoes the journey has two fears. One is anxiety and fear of the journey ahead, that everything must happen well. In today's time, your boarding pass, your ticket, your flight, your luggage, your connection, your stay over, everything must be on track and things mustn't, you know, go out of plan. That's the first fear. That till you get to your destination, things must go as you plan. And the other fear is with regards to the family members you leave behind. You know, you phone in from the airport, are you okay, are the children well, is everything okay, did anyone phone? okay, keep in touch, send me a text, I'll phone you later, send me an email, whatever it is. So there's fear regarding those you leave, and there's anxiety regarding the journey ahead. Now this is the longest journey you're going to Akhirah. The fears are the greatest because you're leaving them permanently. So Allah says those who feared Allah, that تَلَقَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, the angel come to them. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا, don't fear, the journey ahead is only Jannah. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, don't grieve, Allah has taken care of your wife and children. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوْعَدُونَ, that Jannah has been decorated. The hadith says every day Allah decorates Jannah. Allah enhances its beauty. Allah promotes its glory. And then Allah looks at it. And Allah says, soon is the time when my beloved servants will enter you. Very soon is that time coming. You know, people prepare for their festival occasions. They start in advance, in months, in years. They start. Allah decorates the Jannah. And Allah says, soon the time will come when my beloved servants will enter into you. We hope and we make dua to the Almighty Allah that He makes this the turning point in our life. And that we become among those fortunate people that when the pangs of death intensify upon us, and when the pangs of death intensify, as the poet says it, Allahu Akbar, what does he say? وَأَلْبَسُونِ ثِيَابًا لَا كِمَامَ لَهَا وَأَلْبَسُونِ ثِيَابًا لَا كِمَامَ لَهَا وَلَقَدْ أَتَوْ بِالطَّبِيبِ كَيْ يُعَالِجَنِي وَلَمْ أَرَ الْيَوْمَ الطَّبِيبَ يَنْفَعُنِي. I'm lying on my bed, and I can see my son calling the doctor, and my wife calling the surgeon, and my neighbor calling this person. But I know, although I cannot communicate it, that the days of cure are gone for me. But nobody understands it around me. سَيَخْرُجُ الرُّوحُ مِنِّي فِي تَغَرْغُرِهَا, in the sound of mine and in my pants, soon my soul will leave. وَصَارَ رِيْطِي مُرًّا حِينَ غَرْغَرَهَا, and the first thing that will happen is my saliva will become bitter. وَاشْتَدَّ نَزْعِي, and the pains of death intensified. وَصَارَ الْمَوْتُ يَجْزِبُنِي مِنْ كُلِّ عِرْقٍ بِلَا رِفْقٍ وَلَا هَوَنِي, and very mercilessly the soul was now been uprooted from my body, and I felt the pain and the agony in every tissue and fiber of my body. وَصُلَّ رَوْحِي, and suddenly the soul was taken out. وَظَلَّ الْجِسْمُ مُنْطَرِحًا بَيْنَ الْأَهَالِي, and my body lie there motionless before my family. Someone consoling my wife, someone embracing my son, someone sympathizing with my dad, and my body lies there. And then he says, وَأَلْبَسُونِ ثِيَابًا لَا كِمَامَ لَهَا وَصَلُّوا صَلَاةً لَا رُكُوعَ لَهَا وَلَا سُجُودَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرْحَمُنِي. Then they came and they covered me with a cloth which was sleeveless. They came and they put clothes upon me which were sleeveless. وَأَلْبَسُونِ ثِيَابًا لَا كِمَامَ لَهَا وَصَلُّوا صَلَاةً لَا رُكُوعَ لَهَا وَلَا سُجُودَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرْحَمُنِي. And they took me forward and they made a namaz upon me in which there was no ruku and no sajda. And then they lifted my body. And they lifted my body. Some were crying, some were emotional. Some came, some held, some said same, some said this. And they took me and they dropped me in my holes. They dropped me in my grave. My brother, I got to go, you got to go. My sister, you got to go. The young has to go, the old has to go. Go and see, the graveyard is getting filled. The place is becoming deserted. Go and stand at the graveyard and read these verses. كَمْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ وَزُرُوعٍ وَمَقَامٍ كَرِيمٍ وَنَعْمَةٍ كَانُوا فِيهَا فَاكِهِينَ. What are they saying? The gunners of this grave are saying how many palaces they left behind, how many orchards, how many gardens, how many families. Go and ask each man that he died, what aspirations and ambitions he took in his heart. Some died the day they graduated, some died the day they became a father, some died the day they became a husband. Some died the day they got their degree, some died the day they failed. This is the condition of this world. And they went down in their grave. A time will come, I will go, you'll have to go. One man stood by a dead person, sympathize, sympathize. Someone asked him, what you doing? He said, I'm pitying this dead man. He said, my brother, leave the dead man. He's over with three things. Pity your own self. Pity yourself. He's gone. Number one, the frightening sight of the angel of death. He's over with death. You and I have to see. It's time we pity ourselves. Number two, the fear of dying as a believer or not. He's done with that. There is you and I. And number three, the bitterness of death, the pain of death, the agony of death. When Malakul Maut will be told to take out his own soul, when everybody will be given death, And Allah will ask the angel of death, who's left? You say, Allah, it is me and you. You are to remain and I have to go. Allah will then tell him to stand at a location. And Allah will say, oh, angel of death, now remove your own soul. Wallah, whenever man has engrossed in sin, it is because he has become oblivious of death. عَمَرُوهَا أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا عَمَرُوهَا. We read today in the Quran, they beautified their world to the best that they could beautify it. They established to the maximum that they could establish it. عَمَرُوهَا أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا عَمَرُوهَا. وَجَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They made glory to this world. They made adornments to this world. Whenever man has indulged in sin, he's forgotten the darkness of his grave. He's forgotten the loneliness of his grave. He's forgotten the solitude of his grave. So what happens? The angel will stand. Allah will tell him, take out your soul. It comes in the hadith, when he will remove his own soul. He will remove his own soul. He will give off such a loud scream that if the entire creation was alive, everybody would have died instantly with the awful cry he will cry. If the entire creation was alive, the manner in which he will scream and yell, and the painful cry that will emit from him when he will take out his soul, then Allah will say, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. Where are the kings of this world? Where are the rulers? Where are those who chanted the slogans, we in charge, we are controlling, we dominating? Where are those that said, it's my land, it's my territory, it's my democracy, I am entitled to this and I am entitled. Allah says, to who does kingdom belong today? Allah will then shake the entire universe. Allah will say, speak, speak. أَيْنَ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ خَيْرِي وَيَعْبُدُونَ غَيْرِي. Where are those who ate my food but bowed before someone other than me? Nobody will answer, nobody will answer. Allah Himself will answer, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. It belonged to me. I gave it to you temporarily. You fooled yourself as if you owned it permanently. It's back to me. You own nothing. So my brothers and sisters, that day is going to come upon me. Believe me, I didn't have the intention of speaking. Allah be my witness. When I sit here, that is the time I decide what needs to be said. Whatever Allah puts in my heart, I guess is according to your desires and according to what is good for me and is good for you. Accordingly, Allah inspires my heart and your tongue, my tongue and my heart. It wasn't planned, but Allah took this in the direction of the discussion. It's time we reflect. It's time we introspect. It's time we give it thought. We give it serious thought. The journey is going to come, and I will be lowered, and I will be separated. أَتُتْرَكُونَ فِي مَا هَاهُنَا آمِنِينَ أَتُتْرَكُونَ فِي مَا هَاهُنَا آمِنِينَ. Do you think you live in your comfort forever? فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ. In your gardens and your orchards. وَزُرُوعٍ وَنَخْلٍ طَلْعُهَا هَضِينَ. In your wonderful, luxurious, palatial home. No, that very house, that very room in which you've seen the most nasty movies and the most pornographic material, and you violated the order of Allah, your corpse will be lying there, and there will be 100 crying upon you. That very lounge in which you violated the orders of Allah, your dead body will be lying. That's the reality. Forgive me if I'm crude and I'm harsh, but give me other vocabulary. How polite can you be regarding cancer? How polite can you be regarding a killer disease? Something by its nature which is penetrating, which is destroying you. How gentle, how passive can I say it's cancer? I'm afraid the very name is painful, the very name is crude. That by itself is so painful, my brother. Neither I know what is my future, neither you know what is your future. A believer is one who decides whatever he decides, keeping akhirat before him. This world will come to an end. The tamasha of this world will come to an end. The Quran says that وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. لَوْ أَرَدْنَا أَن نَتَّخِذَ لَهْوًا لَاتَّخَذْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا. Allah says, I haven't created the skies and the earth as entertainment. Allah says, entertainment doesn't befit my majesty. It is me, the greatest of the great. My grandeur, my might, and something futile, something in vain, just doesn't befit my glory. I cannot create this world meaningless, futile. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Do you think I created you because I had nothing to do? What an insult upon Allah. No, I have created you for other reasons. I have created you that you recognize me, that you obey me. Live a life diligently to the commandments of Allah. Allah make us among those fortunate people that we repent before the time of death. I don't know when it's going to come. As long as you repent before death, it is early. If your death is at 18 and you repent at 70, then it is early. And if your death is at 16 and you don't repent at 16, it is late. So early is before you die. And I don't know when you'll die and I don't know when I'm going to die. So it will mean that we repent now. It's not at the age of 20 or 30 or 40, because it is depending on each person's lifespan. If your repentance is before your eyes close, consider it to be early. And no man has guarantee, no man. Zayd radiallahu anhu bought something, he told the man, I'll pay you after a month. The Prophet said, come here Zayd, did I hear you correct? You said you'll pay him after 1 month. I don't have the hope, I'll see the next morning. I don't know how you're making commitments for 1 month. I don't have hope, I'll see the next morning, and you say you'll pay the man after 1 month. Today people are bond in the house for 30 years. They bond in the house for 30 years. And the Prophet of Allah says, I don't have hope till the next morning. I don't have hope. In one riwayat he said, when I take one foot, I don't have hope. I don't have the conviction that the next foot will be followed. And your man is bonded for 30 years and bonded for 40 years. Azab upon azab, sin upon sin, my brothers. Wallah, if only Allah can open up my heart and understand the pain with which I'm speaking. I'm not in any position to condemn or criticize, but really collectively. Collectively, if you are elder than me, then this is your young son talking to you, my respected father. If you are my age, then it is your loving, kind brother talking to you. And if you are younger than me, then this is your elder brother talking to you. It is only out of love and concern that we understand and realize, reflect and abandon a life of sin. Allah grant us all the tawfiq.